Is America exceptional, and does God have anything to do with it? Listen to this intriguing quote from Michael Medved, a New York Times best-selling author and also a syndicated radio host. One of his recent books is The American Miracle, Divine Providence and the Rise of the Republic. In that book, Medved notes, quote, "Those who deride the notion of American exceptionalism must confront an inconvenient truth about the struggle that launched the United States. Among all such upheavals in some 3,000 years of recorded human history, the American Revolution stands as the only one to achieve unequivocal, long-lasting success. In every other instance, revolutionary victories prove fleeting or destructive, leading in short order to disaster or tyranny." End quote. Again, that's from The American Miracle. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Michael Medved joins us right now to talk about The American Miracle, a classic book, and it was published in 2016. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. What a pleasure. Always great to talk to you.
Sure. Okay, give us the overall thesis of the book.
Well, the overall thesis of the book is that America's not an accident. It can be simplified very much that way. Look, everybody who ever takes a look at the United States recognizes we are exceptional. And you are going to come to the conclusion either that we are exceptionally good, exceptionally blessed, exceptionally lucky, or exceptionally evil. Right now, there's a great movement of people in the United States and around the world who want to explain America's success in terms of our unique evil. I think that one of the interesting things about the current situation in Ukraine and people looking at history of Russia and of the Russian Empire is it helps give us a much more accurate view of what real evil is like and what the fruits of that tend to be.
Now, your perspective on the Judeo-Christian roots of America, I think, are very interesting. You're an Orthodox Jew, and yet, you know, you would agree with people like me or Dr. D. James Kennedy or Peter Loback or whatever about, you know, hey, there are some strong spiritual roots in America.
Well, it's undeniable. I mean, you honestly have to try to cancel people 200 and 300 years after the event to try to strip out the religious roots of the United States. And what's fascinating to me is so many of our most prominent leaders have, including people on the left, have acknowledged that America has a special relationship with Providence. One of the quotes that I use in American Miracle, which I'm very attached to, is from a world leader who was no particular fan of the United States, Otto von Bismarck, the Iron Chancellor of Germany, the founding chancellor of modern Germany, said back at the end of the 19th century, "God offers special protection to imbeciles, drunkards, lost dogs, small children, and the United States of America." And one of the things that I do in the book is take a look at a series of 12 different stories that I think unequivocally indicate, again, you can call it luck, but Thomas Jefferson, who was no traditional religious believer, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, so many of our great leaders have said, no, it's more than luck. America's been blessed this way for a purpose, and that purpose has to do with not our special privileges, but our special responsibilities as a nation that has always been a divine.
You mentioned Michael Kinsley in the book and other people of the left. They chafe at the idea of American exceptionalism. But I guess in light of what you said earlier, maybe they chafe at the idea of American exceptionalism being good.
Right. Again, that's the problem with so much, and people are debating about critical race theory right now. No one is, one of the problems that we have is not that we have too much education of any kind, but we have too little education, putting America into context. I mean, our country has flaws. It has plenty of flaws right now. It's always had flaws. But the arc of American history, and this is something Franklin Roosevelt said in his fourth inaugural address, wonderful, but isn't read so much today because it's deeply religious and it's embarrassing to. And that's what's so bizarre, is that it's the same way that if you don't know who to thank, then that idea of allowing yourself to be a thankful and grateful and well-integrated personality is going to be much less likely.
All right, well, why don't we go ahead and maybe look at a few of these miracles that you flesh out in the book. For example, New York City in the time of the American War for Independence, you use the phrase meteorological miracle, talking about weather, and then unlikely British inattentiveness. But go ahead and wax eloquent on New York City and George Washington's attempt to defend our country as our commander-in-chief.
There were several points in the American Revolution where the entire enterprise of independence could have fallen apart. George Washington's army, after losing the Battle of Brooklyn, and this is in the summer of 1776, this is right at the same time that they were signing and writing the Declaration of Independence. George Washington came very close to having his entire army captured, and they would have been tried, and Washington himself would have been tried for treason, and the entire drive for an independent, separate nation called the United States of America would have fallen apart. And what happened is they had a night in midsummer of extraordinarily intense fog that no one had seen before, and that people called an open miracle, because that fog allowed the Continental Army, what was left of it after a bruising loss at the Battle of Brooklyn, to get into boats and to row across from Long Island, where they were trapped against the river and with the British right in front of them. And they managed to get everyone across safely. And that allowed the revolution to continue and to lead to success. And again, people who were not conventional religious believers, like Thomas Jefferson, definitely was not. But in this rescue, which involved the kinds of weather patterns that people had never seen before, I mean, very often in the Bible, of course, it refers to God in the weather, being seen in the wind or the sun or some kind of reality in our physical surroundings. Well, this was it. And again, newspapers and everyone in the struggling United States of America saw this as a signal of divine favor, which, by the way, George Washington referred to in his first inaugural address. He talked about the invisible hand that had raised up America and had allowed this country to survive and come into being.
You know, by the way, just two quick points about this and the weather. It's my understanding that later on, jumping ahead to October of 1781 in the Battle of Yorktown, that Cornwallis was trapped, and he decided, oh, I'm going to pull a Washington. He brought his troops over to the, you know, coastline, and they were going to try and get away. And when the fog lifted, uh-oh, there's no fog for him. And all he sees is all these French ships, which are there to help the American cause. So game over for him. But another quick point about weather. I took the time about 20 years ago to read the book word for word by William Shirer about the rise and fall of the Third Reich. And after a while, I put in the margin over and over and over, weather, weather, weather. Because there were so many times, especially once the Americans got involved, hey, there it is, the Americans. Once the Americans started getting involved in World War II, there were so many times where God in his providence allowed the weather to work in favor of the Allies and against the Axis.
Yes, and that was very much the case with D-Day. The sequel to my book, American Miracle, is called God's Hand on America, which carries the story. American Miracle concludes, the last chapter is about Abraham Lincoln, the miracle of Lincoln, and then the meaning of the extraordinary fact of his assassination when the nation needed him most, which also had a message to Americans, which they embraced at the time. But the sequel, God's Hand on America, includes also remarkable weather assistance to the American cause, both the D-Day and the Battle of Midway, crucial battles in World War II, and as you were talking about. But the Battle of Midway, I call it the six-minute miracle, because it was within 6 minutes they destroyed the Japanese fleet and had obliterated the four Japanese aircraft carriers that they were depending on to take Hawaii and ultimately Alaska and the Aleutian Islands, and basically to hit the American mainland. That didn't happen, and the tide of war turned.
And my dad was, on a naval ship in the Aleutian Islands way back when, or during those times. Let me ask you a question. When you see modern Americans today tearing down statues of George Washington or desecrating statues, you know, specifically of George Washington, what are your thoughts? I mean, the guy sacrificed so much so we could become a nation. He gave up so much from his own life so we could be free. And it's like, wow, it's just, talk about ingratitude.
No, and that's exactly the point. Right now, we have a choice as a country. And in fact, my new book, which I'm in the middle of working on right now, is called Guilt Versus Gratitude. And the truth of the matter is, it can ruin a country, it can ruin a personality, it can ruin a family to be obsessed with guilt. And also because guilt very often leads to ingratitude. We have so much to be grateful for here. I'm so conscious of it right now. It's one of the reasons I'm doing this project, because my grandfather came to this country in 1910 from Ukraine. And my dad, thank God, was born here in this country right after my grandmother arrived and rejoined my father. I rejoined my grandfather. And the truth of the matter is, when I think about what my family would have gone through if they had remained in Ukraine, if they had not come here to this blessed place, I am grateful every day, particularly when you hear the news today about the terrible, terrible suffering of some very noble people in this war. That should make us, in our minds, kiss the ground. Thank our noble founding fathers and mothers and the people who have made this country so remarkable and a light to the world.
Oh, that's so true. Okay, we have a minute and a half left to wrap up. Would you want to go ahead and comment quickly on the miracle of Abraham Lincoln?
Sure. I mean, Abraham Lincoln was someone who was so unlikely to become president. And even as an adult, even as an accomplished politico, but small-time politico in Illinois. He was in the state legislature, but he had only one term in the Congress of the United States. We've never had someone who was elected president from such obscurity and with such limited education. I mean, there are other people who never went to college. Abraham Lincoln never went to middle school. He had a year and a half of education. He wrote some of the greatest prose in the English language. You could make a case that he was the greatest prose writer ever in English. That's part of the miracle. Part of the miracle is also has to do with the Battle of Antietam, and Lincoln's determination to emancipate the slaves, to issue the Emancipation Proclamation. And he said to his cabinet, when he first read them, the Emancipation Proclamation, and it's written down by two different cabinet secretaries, Salmon Chase and Gideon Welles, who were taking notes about what was transpiring, Lincoln said he was going to wait for a sign from the Almighty. And that sign came through bizarre coincidence that changed the course of all of human history. And it was an interception of General Orders Number 181 for the Confederates. There were orders from Robert E. Lee himself that showed the disposition of his army. The orders were wrapped around four cigars. And in an open field in Frederick, Maryland, there were two Union soldiers, one of them an unusually old soldier who had volunteered to fight for, and who picked up the cigars, unwrapped those orders, and those orders allowed the none-too-competent General McClellan to fight to a standoff in Antietam to head off Robert E. Lee's invasion of Maryland, and basically to give Lincoln precisely the sign he was looking for, because it was the first really substantial Union victory, Union stopping halt to the Lee invasion of the war.
Wow.
And the story is one of those unbelievable stories. It sounds like a Hollywood script. It's not. It's the truth, and every American should know it, cherish it, and retell it.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. MichaelMedved.com for more information. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
What a joy. Pleasure always talking to you, Jerry.